Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling. I am Edgar. I am your host. And we're going to go over Monday Night Raw. Along here with me to help me, my Snug crew, Mr. Blood, Toxic, Tommy, and BT Knight. It's good to be back, y'all. Excuse my voice. I just got back from Vegas. It's been a long weekend, but I'm glad to be here once again. How y'all fellas doing?
Awesome.
We're doing great. We're doing great. WrestleMania 41 is in the books.
Yes, it is. And which means...
Mania to boot.
Which means we're going to get started with a whole new road to WrestleMania starting today. Today was the Raw after WrestleMania, full of surprises. So we got new people coming in. We got new feuds. We got new storylines. We got new everything, fresh start. Everything is resetting. And not only that, but also us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. We got a whole new look for the show. We got a new logo. We got a new intro. We're starting a whole new season in Snug Wrestling in celebration of WrestleMania 41 being done and over with. And looking forward to a whole new year of going over these shows with everyone and talking about what's going to happen in WWE this time around. So we're going to get started with the ending of the Raw after Mania, where we saw Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman. Roman and CM Punk came out. They tried to get their revenge, but Paul Heyman had another trick up his sleeve. He knew that Seth Rollins was going to be outnumbered with Punk and Roman coming after him. And that trick, that ace up his sleeve, was none other than Braun fucking Breaker, is the second Paul Heyman guy, the new Paul Heyman guy, along with Seth Rollins. Holy shit. Those were my thoughts when I saw Braun Breaker. How awesome is this? I'm so excited to see what's going to happen with this. But what did you guys think about it? Mr. Blood, do the honors like always. Let us know what you think.
Man. Well, out the gate, this Raw for Mania cleared last year's Raw for Mania, where it was basically the praised Cody and Triple H show for the majority, and not a whole hell of a lot happened after that other than the weird interaction between Cody and The Rock. Don't you ever break my heart again. And here's a mystery item that we're going to hand you that we never really came back to until way too long later. There was never really a payoff to any of that. But this Raw for Mania had a lot of great shit going for it. There were so many important things that happened, new setups, new stories happening, new returns. And I mean, this segment, man, you know, a lot of us said it. I called this over a month ago on my channel that Seth needed to turn heel and that he needed to pair with Paul Heyman to freshen himself up. I had said that if you take away the you know, the goofy outfits, you take away his presentation and his music, Seth really has no character other than I am the championing company guy who will always be the company guy, and I'm the architect, and that's about it. No. Paul Heyman is about to give this man an overhaul. And if you notice, tonight when he came out, he wasn't wearing anything goofy. He was wearing like a yellow suit, but it wasn't outlandish, flamboyant, you know, psychotically out there. And this whole segment, top to bottom, was, I loved the serious Seth again. That was the first thing I noticed. We got serious Seth again. That slow talking, eyes burning into the camera. No goofiness, no sing my song, none of that shit. And Paul just sitting there proud of himself, just seething with pride behind him. Great camera angles. Punk comes out to get his pound of flesh. He starts taking it to Rollins, kicking the shit out of him. And then he turns to get his hands on Heyman, gets his eyes gouged from behind by Rollins again, curb stomped. And then they kind of pump faked us with the copyright logo again, man. We got to stop trusting that goddamn copyright logo because they put it up on the screen. The show's getting over.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden you hear dun, dun, dun. And Roman's coming out. You're like, oh shit. What the fuck? Roman comes out. He hits Rollins with a nasty spear. So, you know, Punk, Rollins, and Reigns ain't over yet by a long shot. And all of a sudden you see Heyman And he's just like sitting there, like, I can't believe you already took out my guy. Goes, gets hit with a Superman punch, about to get set up for that fucking spear, and gets intercepted by a mystery person in a hoodie who hits him with a mean spear of his own. And all of a sudden, the crowd rips the ceiling off the place for Bron Breakker, the newest Paul Heyman guy. A lot of us called, within the last month or so, many people called the team up between Seth and Heyman. No one ever thought we'd get two new Paul Heyman guys at the same time forming an alliance. And the cool thing about this is so many people fantasy booked and hoped that at some point Bron Breakker would end up with Heyman as his manager, kind of like a Brock Lesnar disciple. And you see these two stand side by side and you realize, oh my God, Heyman is shining a better light in helping revamp Rollins. But Rollins is shining a light in helping revamp Braun. It's perfect. It's the perfect way. You build two people at the same time. You reestablish one to freshen them up, and you completely strap the rocket on the back of the other and put a spotlight on that young, hungry talent by putting him with the best talker in the game today against the two biggest stars other than Cody and Seth himself in the WWE, in that of Punk and Reigns. This is a win for everybody in every direction, and I'm so here for it. You know, you can say what you want about how Mania turned out, the lackluster nature of it, this, that, and third, but what you can't deny is Triple H cooked here, and I am super excited for what the next fucking year of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown is going to look like, if this is going to be probably the main story leading the charge other than whatever Cody does. So fucking hats off to the guys, honestly.
I want to give a quick shout out to Distance Nerding Podcast and Comic on the comments. Says every single segment felt meaningful, new storylines, new faces, new alliances felt so fresh. As much as they plan out Mania stories, feels like Raw after Mania was planned for a long time. Lots of chess pieces moved to set up the show. Thank you for your comment. Toxic, let's go with you, man. I want to hear what you think about this, because we kind of talked about this, what was next for Bron Breakker if he lost the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, which he did. And things are looking pretty good for Bron Breakker right about now. But what did you think, Toxic?
Not expecting this whatsoever. Not expecting the Bron Breakker part, mainly. Everything else I expected during this, except for Bron. And I had to think about this for a little bit, because you have to think, if there's people already talking about Bron, or Paul Heyman being Bron Breakker's manager one day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did a little researching, and it was like an NXT before WrestleMania 40. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman came out, I think it was a match between Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker, and he actually brought Bron Breakker out. So I kind of saw it coming after Mania 40,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know when it was going to be.
Mm.
So this shocked me a lot, and I'm pretty sure it shocked everyone.
Yeah, man. Anyone that you put with Paul Heyman, man, is just, they automatically get over. So I'm fucking excited for Bron Breakker. You know, he's a Paul Heyman guy. And it just feels like sky's the limit now with Bron Breakker, man. He's definitely going places now for sure. Definitely the future of the WWE, I think. But Tommy and then BT.
One of the best things here is the fact that it has been true since the beginning that whoever you put with Paul Heyman is no longer on the level that they were before. They are miles above it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with this,
Curtis Axel's the only one.
Yeah, the only one out of how many? Out of how many? One. But still, this was a spot that no one expected. We knew it was going to happen eventually. But we were not expecting for as soon as he loses the title on Sunday, all of a sudden, next day, well, time to give Roman the good old Steiner spear. In which, with that spear, he looked just like his dad, man. He looked just like his dad with the way he did that spear. It was so clean. And the fact that he did it to someone as massive as Roman Reigns, like, that in itself puts him above where he was at. Just that one moment. It's just, it's hard to put this into words because no one expected it.
Yeah, for sure, man. When I realized, you know, Braun Breaker is not the Intercontinental Champion anymore, I thought for sure they were going to put him up against Jay first. I'm like, man, Jay Uso, he's going to have his hands full. Braun Breaker, if he loses it, He's gonna work his way into that main title picture, but it looks like Braun Breaker is not quite there yet. He is in some form of main event status right now, being involved with CM Punk and Roman and Seth Rollins. It's not quite the title picture, but it's definitely something, you know. BT, let's hear your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, I was completely shocked to find out Seth and Braun are aligning together with Paul Heyman on this new era of Monday Night Raw, and I cannot wait. I really hope down the line Seth turns back into the Monday Night Messiah, because the Monday Night Messiah with Paul Heyman and Braun, goosebump inducing. Like, I absolutely cannot wait to see what the future holds for these three in particular. But the segment itself was cinema. I don't have any more words for that. Fucking cinema.
So what's next here, you guys? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, right? We're going to be seeing... we're pretty much going to be seeing Punk and Roman team up, right? They're going to have to join forces to take down Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker, right? Or what do you guys think? What do you guys want to see come out of all this besides Braun Breaker getting pushed to the moon? I feel like we can see singles matches between Braun Breaker versus Roman Reigns. Can you imagine that? Holy shit. Braun Breaker versus CM Punk. Or even, you know, another match between Seth and Roman, or Seth and Punk, like, or a tag team match between these two.
I see a monopolization happening here, because Rollins straight up said, you know, there can only be one that leads this company into the future, this industry into the future, and it's got to be me. I think that they're going to put a mark on Jey Uso's back, and they're going to put a mark on whoever the Intercontinental Champion is. And they're going to try to take both the IC and the World Heavyweight Championship. So you'll have two champions running under Paul Heyman. And then I think they're going to try to belt collect, man. I think they're going to try to go through every division, because this is Seth, like BT said, this is like a mixture of this freaking gimmick, but with heavy tones of his Monday Night Messiah gimmick. Because the whole point of the Monday Night Messiah gimmick was that he was going to save wrestling. I'm the savior of Monday Night Raw. I'm the savior. And that's what he's been denoting to for weeks. I'm the only one who can lead us in the future. I'm the only one who can fix this. I'm the only one who can keep this company afloat. Like, he's in that savior mindset, the Messiah mindset. I think we've got these guys going through, you know, Rollins or Reigns and Punk. I think they need to win that feud, by the way, to keep them strong out the gate. Because what states your dominance. Like your first feud against fucking Roman Reigns and CM Punk, and you beat them, and now everybody else is going to have to fall in line or get stepped on. Because if you put those two down, oh shit.
Yeah, we got some interesting comments here. Shout out to Lauren Ragland. Sorry if I botched that. I don't see it lasting long. Too many big egos. That's an interesting comment. If you care to explain a little bit more on that, that'd be cool. Shout out to JTWWE. This new faction is crazy already. And shout out to my boy Soto from the 619. I got to meet him over WrestleMania weekend finally. And he said he just left the arena. Monday Night Raw was great. Yes, Toxic.
I want to add something to Blood, which it's, I don't...
Please do, cook him.
Am I good to speak now, Snug?
Hold on. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Now that we had the moment of silence, thank you. Okay, anyways, to my point, you got to think. They may not go after the Intercontinental and World Heavyweight Championship because what's in a matter of a couple weeks? The draft. They could be brought over to SmackDown.
Are they still doing that? Have they announced that?
I don't know. But I just,
they haven't announced it yet, but they did it like, what, 2 or 3 weeks after Raw, Mania last year, the draft?
I hope they never do that ever again.
I think it was SmackDown after Mania.
I would hope you keep them on Netflix because that's a massive act, and you know WWE's all about Netflix right now. Yeah. So I would hope they keep them on Netflix or on Raw because I mean SmackDown needs a shakeup, but
it's come the on, main. It's
the big show.
I mean that's the main thing going for Raw. I think the main thing going for SmackDown is the whole John Cena thing. John Cena was on Raw today too, wasn't he? Okay, well I missed that part. But when it comes to Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Bron Breakker. Anything else you guys want to add before we get up out of here? BT.
I just thought of another potential member that could join Seth, Bron, and Paul.
Okay.
What if we added Ilya Dragunov? Mm. I mean, just think of it. Ilya Dragunov has been sidelined throughout the whole year because of injury, right? What if he comes back? Seth wants to rebuild Ilya, supposedly, but he's too busy building Braun. So that gets Ilya a bit jealous. So Braun and Ilya are going to have a bit of a confrontation, but it basically builds like a Evolution 2.0 in some sort of sense.
I mean, Bron Breakker.
Just a little idea.
I think Ilya makes more sense to be the one that stops Gunther because I think Gunther is going to go on a tirade here where he just starts attacking everybody for nothing. And we haven't had Ilya on the main roster with Gunther yet. So make Ilya the one that puts a stop to Gunther. But I would love to see them put Rusev as the next Paul Heyman guy.
We got a few other names being thrown here on the chat. Let me see. JTWWE says, what about Sami Zayn? And Lauren says, or Ethan Page. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here. I mean, they just added Bron Breakker. Like, once you add Bron Breakker, I think you're good. I don't think you need anyone else unless CM Punk and Roman add a third member to their group or whatever. But, like, I think this is good where we're at right now. Tommy, what about you?
I think that's exactly what he's hinting at, by the way, with the whole Monday Night Messiah thing, knowing the fact that his WrestleMania entrance was legitimately him coming out in what looks like a fucking trash bag, lights go out, and all of a sudden that gorgeous white look, that white suit.
Yep, if it ain't white, it ain't right, right?
And then...
Oh, relax, Mr. Blood, it's called a joke. Jesus.
There is one...
I was just thinking of Chavo Guerrero, I remember. Chavo?
One person that no one here has said.
Who's that?
They're going to go after almost every title, they need a woman involved.
Oh, Jesus.
Who better than Seth Rollins' own wife, Becky fucking Lynch?
Ugh. Anyways.
I mean, I can see it. It's
yeah, I can see it too.
It's a new two-man power trip, but we've never had a Paul Heyman girl, have we?
No. Shout out to Soto. He agrees that it could also be Rusev. I mean, like, for Becky, she's in the women's division. You don't need to have a girl involved in this storyline with top guys like CM Punk and Roman fucking Reigns.
Need a woman to get the other two. Who better than Becky?
To get what? Get who?
So if you really think about it, we've never had a Paul Heyman girl, right? What if you, you know who I think would be a perfect Paul Heyman girl that would make total fucking sense and would be a massive blow to Roman in story if you build it that way? Nia Jax.
Ooh.
Why do you guys want to involve nothing against the women's division? But we're talking about CM Punk and Roman Reigns.
But think, Seth Rollins wants to take everything into the future. All of WWE. You've got to go after every division, right? You got to have a woman running roughshod control too. If not Becky, then Nia. But if it's Nia and or something like that, you've got to have a woman that's willing to fight back, right? Cue, light it up, light it tonight. AJ fucking Lee. Because she'll side with her husband. It makes sense. If you're forming, because you got to think, this is a time of year where they start sowing the seeds for war games. So
now you want to have men and women in the same war games.
No, but I want to have the women that are siding with like Seth and Braun and Heyman versus the women trying to save the WWE from them taking over. But and I want the same thing for the men.
Oh, that one of people's dream matches as of recently that WWE has not done in quite a bit. People want a couples match. Becky up against Punk.
I mean, a lot of people have been asked for the mixed match challenge back. But like for me, I just think this should be a story about battling over the soul of WWE, because that's what the story's already been about, right? The soul of WWE. Who's going to be the person who captures it? That's what Seth's been about this entire time. Who really is in control of the company, its heart and its soul? Seth's character has always been about, I'm the one who's always been here. I'm the one who's put in the work. I carried this company on my back and it blew my knee out. That's been his character for years.
So let me ask you guys this. So what you guys are telling me is you guys want another match like John Cena and fucking, what was his girl's name at the time? The Bella girl. Remember they had a mixed tag match at WrestleMania? You guys want to see that again?
No one wants the bullshit like couples crap.
That's what you guys just said.
No, there's what he means is intergender tag matches. Women and men tagging against women and men.
People want those two couples specifically.
No. But it comes down to I think that if you tell the story right, this story has to be about the battle for the soul of WWE. And it's gonna be Seth trying to keep hold and take it into the darkness. And it's going to be everybody else on the other side trying to take it into the light. But I think if you really want the soul, you've got to go for the soul of every division. So you need someone in every division. I think this doesn't just stop with Heyman. I really don't think it stops with Braun and Seth. I think they're building a faction here. I think this is an alliance getting formed.
I hope not.
Those are just the first two.
I hope not, because I love this tag team. I mean, if you can even call it a tag team yet, I don't know. We'll see.
I definitely call it an alliance.
Yeah.
Evolution 2.0. Let's go.
Like a stable. It'd be more of a stable than a tag team.
All right, you guys. Where do you guys want to go from here? Because usually I have my shit together. I have my notes in order and everything. But I don't. I just came back from Vegas. So, yeah, Toxic.
I would like to go to the thing that happened with Gunther and McAfee.
Okay. Why don't you get us started then, Toxic?
I actually have something really important to say about that, actually. I want to bring up a point that Michael Cole said after McAfee was taken backstage and the Intercontinental Championship match was already starting. He said that us commentators, we have the right to have our own opinion. We have the right because we are not only commentators. We are fans. We are basically fans. We have the right to call the matches and whatever we think in our own
Yeah. Share their own opinions.
Our own perspective, yes.
Yeah.
And it's just what Gunther did is straight up bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Not right what he did to Cole. And and once again, Gunther proves that he's the whiny bitch that he is.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with the Gunther hate again.
Yes, I am a complete Gunther hater. Shame me.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Shame me.
I will shame
Gunther
you.
Gunther is a whiny bitch.
All right, so I didn't actually see this, but did he come after Michael Cole? Thank you, man. Did he come after Michael Cole first and then Pat McAfee defended Michael Cole, right?
To be fair, Michael kind of put his own foot in his mouth. Because Michael is trying to calm the situation down at first, like Gunther. You know, we're just trying to do our job. I'm trying to do my job. Gunther comes around and Michael just goes, hey, you know what? To be fair, I'm not the one who tapped out. And I was like, oh, why the fuck would you say that? Like, I'm like, you were just asking to get manhandled here.
So we've seen this before, haven't we? Like, people coming after the announcers like, oh, you called me the former champion or whatever. You said this or the other.
Wade Barrett was the one who stood up, I think, for Michael Cole, I think it was. He stood up for Michael Cole last year, Wade Barrett.
Mm.
But this was like the first time where like, in a while at least, where one announcer straight up put fucking hands. Because, yo, Pat ain't no bitch, bro. Pat straight up, he shoved Pat. Pat came over with a forearm smash right in the side of the ear, bro.
So this can only, I feel like this can only go one way. Unless Pat McAfee has the balls to go up against Gunther to defend himself, which I doubt because it's Gunther. Pat McAfee's going to need some backup. He's going to have to bring someone to come after Gunther if he wants, or I don't know. Or maybe this is just like a one-off thing, but what do you guys think is going to come out of this? What do you guys think is going to happen next? BT, let's go with you first.
I think Gunther and Pat will have a match somewhere down the line. I want to say, though, Michael Cole having a storyline like this is so heartwarming to see after how he was booked years ago with the whole Jerry Lawler booking at WrestleMania 27 and the whole irritable fucking the whole heel commentator bullshit. It's so heartwarming to see that, and Michael Cole's doing such an amazing job, and I want to congratulate him for that.
All right, Tommy, what about you?
What do I think is going to come out of this? All right, here we go. I think coming out of this, because honestly, my brain can't figure out how else to do it right now. I think this is how we get our two big meaty men slapping meats.
Whoa, pause. Whoa. What are you talking about?
Resume.
I think we are getting Gunther, or Walter, versus Rusev Machka.
How? Okay.
We have been wanting this. This was our dream match when it comes to when we filmed this. That was the main match that we were talking about, would be those two going head to head.
Yes, I know. Yeah, but it's just too soon. He just got here. He attacked the tag team division. He looks like he came in as a heel. Gunther's also a fucking major heel.
Be his first match, Otis?
I mean, yeah, why not? It'll make Rusev look strong. Otis can do, you know, he's a job guy. Let's call it like it is.
Stronger than being able to go head to head with Gunther.
I mean, I hope you're right. I mean, that would be a dream match. One of my dream matches that I'd definitely like to see. But I feel like it's going to take a little bit longer for us to get that match. But let's go with you, Blood. When it comes with all this with Pat McAfee and Gunther, or just Gunther in general, what you got?
To the Rusev thing, I no offense, Tommy, as much as I want to see that match, I'm with Snug. Let that simmer. Because you gotta think, no one's going to be invested in a heel versus heel dynamic unless we build Gunther back, because there's so many new fans that have never seen Gunther, or not Gunther, but Rusev. They weren't present for his original run. They don't watch AEW. Like, you got to reintroduce them to the masses and let Triple H show us what version of Gunther this will be, and then build to that, or sorry, what version of Rusev this will be, and then build to Gunther. I say let it simmer. That being said, when it comes to Gunther, I think what's coming out of this, I could see a potential match with McAfee, or maybe they're going to hook, line, and sinker us, and maybe next week or the week after, Gunther's going to try to get his hands on McAfee again. McAfee's going to stand up for himself again when it looks like things are dire for McAfee. I think this time Michael Cole is going to step in to try to save McAfee. Like, he's going to try to defend McAfee this time, because you know, you saw how much he put over, how sad he was that he couldn't do more for Pat. I think next week Gunther's going to try to go after Pat again, only Michael's going to balls up this time. And then as soon as Gunther's about to manhandle the both of them, all of a sudden you're going to hear them violins playing, and out is going to come Ilya Dragunov, the return of Ilya from injury. And we're going to finally get Ilya versus Gunther on the main roster. Because the only other person that has been able to, if I remember correctly, submit Gunther in WWE is Ilya Dragunov. And we are currently telling the story that Gunther tapped out. That's the story. There's only two people that have done it. Jay, which started this story with tap out, and Ilya on NXT UK. And I think that's the direction we're going.
The more I think about this...
Get Michael Cole back in the ring, because that match was fucking horrendous.
I'm not saying getting him back in the ring. I'm saying that it's going to be a segment.
The more
that Gunther's going to come out and try to bully them again.
The more that I think about this is, if that happens, Mr. Blood, then it's going to have to be Jey Uso. That's Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. That's their boy. Every time Jey Uso comes out and does the whole Jey thing.
But I think Jey's moving on. I think Jey's moving on from Gunther, because they're picking and choosing this rematch clause bullshit. So I think Ilya makes perfect sense, because I genuinely think they're moving Jey on to Sammy. I think we're getting a Sammy turn here at some point.
I did notice something weird about that too. But I think, like you said, they're being very pick and choosy about this whole rematch clause bullshit. I think we got to get a rematch. I think Jey Uso, I don't think he's done with Gunther.
I kind of hope he is, because I don't need to see that story any longer. Right. I think it peaked a while ago. And we finally got the match at Mania. The match was, in my opinion, much better than it had any right to be. And I want them to move on from each other. I want Gunther to have to sit with this loss and let it fester and just take it out on everyone else, because he knows he can't take it out on Jey, because he knows he can't beat Jey anymore. So I say separate these two. Let Jey go on to whatever story they're probably cooking with Sammy, and let Gunther go on to whatever's probably going to happen with Ilya, Pat, and Michael Cole. And then it's a reset on Gunther.
Jimmy also has, owes Gunther a fucking shiner or two after what he did to him. Maybe we get Jimmy versus Gunther next.
It's possible, but if you really sit there and ask yourself, do you want to see either of the Usos involved with Gunther further than what we've already dealt with the last 13 weeks?
I just don't know what else is next for Gunther. I mean, you went after Pat McAfee of all people. Like, what the fuck are you going to get out of that?
Well, he didn't go after Pat. He went after Cole. And when Pat tried to separate him, he shoved Pat across the announcer's desk. And when he put Michael Cole in the sleeper hold, Pat came for that get back to save Michael Cole. And then when they got separated, Pat turned his back and Gunther jumped him with a sleeper and wouldn't let go.
The only thing that I noticed about this whole thing that really stood out to me was fucking Pat McAfee coughing all over the place and coughing on his hands and then shaking people's hands as he was walking out.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, what a fucking sicko.
He was back and five.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I would not be shaking his hand.
I don't get ads, right? So I'm sitting there watching the ad break where it does the whole 3-minute countdown, back in 3 minutes or whatever. We're seeing all the stuff they keep filming while you guys are all watching commercials of BT and I don't have them. And I literally see him go down on the entrance ramp and he just goes down to one knee and he goes, does that and goes, and this one guy holds his hands up and he goes,
yep.
And I was like, man, did you just cough in your head and slap that dude's hand? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, where's the sanitizer?
But other than that, you guys, there's a couple more things when it comes to Monday Night Raw that I want to go over, and that's the John Cena promo, because I didn't really get to listen to the promo because I was still making my way home from Vegas weekend, but I saw online that he got RKO'd, so I'm putting doing some quick maths here, and it's looking like we're going to get John Cena versus Randy Orton for one final time. But someone let me know what was this promo about? What did he say? Someone fill me in here. Go ahead, Toxic.
So basically he was kind of recapping Mania in a way, I would say. And then he had the same Titantron that he had at Mania. It was all black and it was just his name. And then when he was in the ring, he wasn't talking or anything. He got the ring announcer to come in and say, my comment has been whatever it's called, I don't know what he said, as disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a couple moments of silence, and then Cena started going on with some shit. I wasn't really paying attention. And then there was the number 36. That's how much appearances Cena said that he would have.
Mm.
And he started naming all of his appearances that he's had ever since that he announced the retirement tour.
So he has 36 left, or he's done 36?
No. That's how much appearances he has left in WWE. But okay. He was starting to count them down.
And originally.
Got it.
He was starting to count them down. And then he was going after the fans. And I don't know where Randy Orton failed him.
Yeah. Did Randy say anything after that?
Nope. He picked the title up, held it up, and then just dropped it on.
So this is probably going to happen at what? What is that, the one that's going to be in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's Backlash, and that's here in like 2 weeks.
God damn. Okay, we're moving fast then. Okay. All right. Well, that pretty much covers everything, right? When it comes to John Cena, the opening promo. Yes, BT.
The fact that the numbers were down, but that's pretty much it.
Okay.
One thing I want to point out. Actually, a couple things I want to point out. Number one, Cena never brought up The Rock or Travis Scott, and that sort of pissed me off. And I thought there was going to be some sort of master plan that John Cena had fucking revealed to us, but nope, they just fucking pushed that to the side. Number two, when Cody Rhodes' name got announced, he got booed.
Oh. Like,
Cody's name got booed. And at WrestleMania, Cody got booed.
On SmackDown, he got booed too.
Exactly. So
I was booing him.
It wasn't just you. It was all of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That was booing him. So it kind of fit the status quo that everybody only wanted to go for Cena because they wanted to see him win the 17th title. Not only that, does that mean that what people were saying about Cody being stale was right, or were they just being picky, and do they not know what they really want? And John Cena is exposing the audience for what they are. They're a bunch of hypocrites.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, because my thoughts are this, and it's pretty simple. The fans are fickle, and they always have been. They always will be. They wanted Cody until they got him, and then they didn't want him anymore. And that's the problem. Fans don't care about title reigns anymore. Fans' attention spans are so fucking short. All they care about is the moment that they win the title and the chase leading up to it. But no one cares about the reigns, which is what the problem is with WWE and Triple H trying to do long-term storytelling and long-form booking with these reigns. The crowds don't have the attention span to care about it anymore, even though they'll bitch and whine that they want it, right? Until they get it. Everybody wanted Cody for 2 fucking years until Cody did the damn thing. Then everybody, then the small minority in the internet wrestling community started chirping Raw after Mania last year. And it got louder and louder throughout last year, up to the point where we got live attendance fans booing the shit out of the guy who's been putting in the work for him. And even John Cena in this promo as a heel defended Cody and literally said, wow, you guys are heartless. The guy who put this company on his back for 2 years did everything for you up until finishing his story last year. You're booing that guy because you guys are heartless. This is exactly what I was talking about. You're hypocrites. You don't deserve us is exactly what John Cena said to them. And the biggest problem here is that I don't think the fans would have hated Cody's loss had it not been such a fucking anticlimactic finish. The Rock posting on Instagram that he was in Maui driving around in his fucking car during the show automatically sat there and told everybody, oh shit, so your fill-in is Travis Scott, the guy who has a tenth of your star power? Because you started this story. You want to interject yourself into all of this fucking shit. You can't show up on the biggest moment of this fucking story that you fucking started? And that's why the fans are booing Cody. They're booing Cody not only because of just them feeling maybe stale on his run, but
this is starting to feel like a WrestleMania review, not a Raw review.
But the booking surrounding The Rock and him. And John Cena was out there legit trying to play cleanup as a heel. And that was what a lot of the crux of this promo was. He has 27 dates left. That's what he said. When he minused out all the dates he's already done, he said, I have 27 left. And he goes, and let me make this clear. Those are appearances, not matches. All I have to do is show up and do this. He goes, you guys say I can't wrestle? That's fine. I don't have to.
Yeah. The fans, either they're hypocrites, we're hypocrites, we don't know what we want, or we do know what we want, and we don't know, like, how to choose sides. And that's exactly how I felt when it comes to this whole thing with John Cena and Cody. I mean, the fans are divided. Some people wanted to see John Cena win. I personally did not, but it happened, okay? And I think it worked out for the better, because if Cody would have won, and we'll talk about this more when we do the WrestleMania review, it would have turned...
Sacrificing his reign just for John Cena's one moment. I don't know if it was worth it.
It would have turned... The fans would have turned on Cody in a heartbeat if he beat John Cena at WrestleMania. But
yeah, it would have.
This whole thing about the fans not knowing what they want and like being hypocrites kind of has to do with the next thing that I want to talk about when it comes to Monday Night Raw. And that's this whole thing with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch came back out of nowhere at WrestleMania. She was added to the match, the tag team match with Lyra Valkyrie versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Why? Till this day, I don't even know the reason why Bayley was pulled out, which I think is complete bullshit. Becky Lynch comes back. She wins right away after being gone for fucking forever. And then she takes a couple bumps, and then she's the new women's tag team champion with Lyra Valkyrie. Fucking bullshit. I'm calling it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Becky Lynch. It doesn't matter. She's getting cheered, Becky Lynch. Meanwhile, Charlotte Flair, she comes back. She wins the Rumble. She goes on to WrestleMania, has a great match with Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton wins, but Charlotte Flair is still the bad guy. Charlotte Flair is still getting booed, even after everything that, you know, she talked about with her surgery, her personal life, getting a divorce through all of this. And then she comes back and she gets booed. Meanwhile, Becky Lynch comes back, she wins, and everyone's all happy. And then we fast forward to Monday Night Raw. They end up losing the tag team titles again. And then she turns on Lyra Valkyrie. And everyone is okay with that. Everyone's so glad that Becky Lynch is back. The man is back. This is fucking horse shit. I'm sorry. This is fucking stupid.
And you know what? I'm just gonna take the lead on this one and go first and pass off, because I was one who was mostly pissed off about this. Because I'm a Charlotte stan, y'all know that. Charlotte has put two young talent over when she needed to, the right way, at the last two Manias that she was at. Even though she had personal real beef with Tiffany, she did the right thing and she put her over strong in the end. She put over Rhea at the right time after the first time where Vince had her had Rhea put her over when everybody thought Rhea should win the first time they had their Mania match years ago. And she turned the clock back and did the right thing 2 years ago at 39. This is BS. I said this in the chat. I said it on my live, and I'm going to say it here for everybody to hear me who didn't hear it before. How dare you shit on Charlotte Flair for being Charlotte Wins Lol, Charlotte Hogan? Becky now has come back two times, and on her return has taken a title from two younger talents, three if you count Raquel. On the match, are you forgetting that when she came back and automatically within 2 minutes took the title off of Bianca Belair the moment she returned? Are you forgetting that? Because people seem to forget. Everybody was all for Bianca. Pop, here's the prize, Becky Lynch. Manhandle slam 1, 2, fucking 3. Okay? New champion.
Becky Hogan.
Comes back last night. Takes two bumps. Two. For the entire match. Lyra gets her ass kicked. Becky comes and takes two bumps. Takes the titles that they just won off of Liv. Someone who Liv has put Becky over. And they were feuding last year. And you automatically threw the title on Becky last minute when Rhea got injured. So you keep booking the women's division around two women, Charlotte and Becky. Only everybody seems to only have a problem with booking it around Charlotte. But they have continuously been booking this shit around Becky for like 6 fucking years. Okay? How is this comparable? How is it fair? You screwed Bayley over, but because she's not even really injured. You took her out of the match, so you fucked over one horsewoman. So the other two could have a WrestleMania moment. The other two horsewomen could have one. But instead of giving Bayley her flowers for all the work she's been doing for the last two fucking years, you said, nah, backstage injury, last fucking minute, liar, you got 24 hours or 48 hours to find yourself a tag partner, yada, yada. Hey, Becky says she's ready to come back after a year of not fucking being here, being involved in any stories, putting any fucking work in any of this shit. Sure, Bayley, you, who's been working your ass off everywhere from the European tour to every other fucking country you've been to, yeah, you're sidelined. Fuck your WrestleMania moment. Let's give Becky your WrestleMania moment just so we can take the titles off her 24 hours later just so we can solidify a heel turn. Even though 100% sure Becky's probably on a part-time schedule based on what we heard from her press conference where she's talking about trying to make sure their daughter gets into an actual routine. So Bayley, who's full-time, is getting her shit cut out from under her for Becky, who is definitely going to go part-time here. And I think that's fucked up.
Not only that, but we're going to get Lyra versus Becky again, like we last time Becky was in the WWE, like 6 months ago or whatever it was. We saw the same thing.
Am I wrong here? Did I not say months and months ago? Tell me if I'm wrong. Months ago, I literally said the only reason they put that fucking Intercontinental Championship on Lyra instead of Dakota Kai, instead of Zoe Stark, was only because they thought Becky was going to come back sooner than she did, so they could have this feud months ago. They only did this so Lyra could feud with Becky.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, it's safe to say that we're going to have a new Intercontinental Women's Champion here pretty soon with Becky Lynch. But what do you guys think about this? Let's go with you, Tommy.
Becky motherfucking Hogan.
Becky Hogan.
That is who she is right now. She truly is. And I brought this up in our chat. One day, this tag team reign was as long as Finn Balor's Universal title reign. One day.
Yeah.
One. And Bled said, like, 24 hours later, I'm gonna correct you on that, not even.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even.
Like, it was like 21 hours. Not even a full day.
What up, Zoe? Thank you for joining us, Zoe. Like, go ahead.
So, you're over here handing them the titles just so they can lose it, not even 24 hours later, just so Becky can turn heel?
I also hate when they do that shit. Like, when someone wins the championship at WrestleMania and then they just lose it the next day on Monday Night Raw. It's fucking stupid.
And I saw that, and I'm just like, then what was the point of even giving Lyra the tag titles in the first place?
You literally could have fucking had her turn heel because they lost their opportunity. You didn't even have to change the titles. She could have turned on her because they lost, and she could have turned on her at Mania.
Exactly! That would have been so much better!
Yeah, man. I just want to know, like, where's the, where's, you know, for the fans, the same energy, keep the same energy. This is the same reason why people hate Charlotte Flair, but yet Becky Lynch is over here getting cheered. So it's like,
this is exactly why they turned her heel, by the way, in case people start comparing her to Charlotte, they turned her heel. So if people start booing, she'll already be a heel. So you can't ruin her character that way.
No, but
that's why they did that
entire time.
And two, like, if this is true that Becky Lynch is going to be a part timer and all this shit, like, if she wins the Intercontinental Championship, where she's like, what? She's just going to show up every now and then, and now we're not going to see the title as much. I don't know. But BT, what are your thoughts in all this, BT? Hold on, Tommy. Go ahead, BT.
My thoughts on this whole thing, Liv and Raquel shouldn't have lost it in the first place. The only reason they put the tag titles on both superstars was so they could be two Irish bitches standing in the middle of the ring. And it, respectfully.
There's no respectfully in that. No, you can't. No.
And they could make Lyra the replica of Becky Lynch, Lyra two belts, with Becky standing in the ring, sharing the moment with her. That's basically what they did. So, and to have Liv and Raquel legit get their rematch on the Monday after WrestleMania, when the rematch clause has been favorited so many fucking times, like, never fucking consistent. Like, Gunther hasn't even gotten a rematch for the world title against Jay. So what the fuck are they, Liv and Raquel getting the rematch against Becky and Lyra?
They literally just moved John Cena straight on to Randy Orton without.
Exactly.
Immediately.
That's fucking wild. Yeah.
Exactly. And people, and Kevin Owens had every right to say that the rematch clause hasn't been used in years, and they were talking about giving Roman Reigns the rematch.
That's, you know,
Kevin Owens, Ron Breaker. Ron just moved straight into the main event.
Exactly. Moved straight into
Penta got a rematch.
yes. But it was fucking stupid. The way they booked it was stupid. But the moments are special. It's just the way they book them is just all over the place.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We know because Becky is going to help Lyra build up that championship. That's what they've been waiting on. They didn't give Lyra shit because they were waiting on Becky to give that division the prominence that it's going to need. So we're going to get this title meaning some shit, but why did we have to take 7 months to get there?
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I don't... Everything, I feel like everything Becky touches is just, for me, it just gets ruined. Everything from even the feud with Trish Stratus, then she had the NXT Women's title that I believe she lost to Lyra Valkyrie. And now we're going to see that again, but with the Intercontinental title. It's just, this is just whatever.
Here's the thing. I've been a proud Becky Lynch supporter for quite some time. There have been a lot of people calling Becky Lynch Hulk Hogan, and I used to get the shits at that so many times. Like even when Rhea had to drop the title because Liv busted Rhea's shoulder and they put the title on Becky. They called Becky Hulk Hogan. When she put Liv over on, I think it was Night of Champions, when Liv won the title, she put Liv over. And then the Raw after puts Liv over in the steel cage match. So I'm like, where's the Becky Hogan haters now? Now she comes back and then just wins a title off of a return, copying what she did nearly 4 years ago. She's not beating the Becky Hogan allegations after this shit.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to Monday Night Raw, that's pretty much, I think those were the main points that, the important points that we needed to cover. But other than that, fellas, that was a Monday Night Raw review. Anything else you guys want to add before we get up out of here?
Becky did say during that press conference that, well, she made the joke that she's not doing part-time, that she's doing full-time, or until she decides to take a break again.
Hilarious. All right, you guys, with that being said, that was a Monday Night Raw review. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mr. Blood, Toxic, Tommy, and BT9 from all of us here in Snug Wrestling. You guys have a good night, and we will talk very, 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 very soon. Later.
Four letters, one word.
Yeet. No, goddammit.